We go back to that Old Testament reading in Jeremiah as we walk in our Advent journey. And in this passage that we read today, it's really kind of fascinating. God kind of secures his own promises. Jeremiah is a really interesting book. He's a very interesting prophet. He is preaching at a time when Israel is basically circling the drain. They started out, you know, big kingdom unified that David and his successor Solomon ruled. And then they split north and south. And then the southern kingdom had occasional good kings and many non-good kings. And they began to contract and contract and contract. Until finally, they really are just circling that drain and they're in a death spiral. They end up, Jerusalem is under siege. They hold out for a while. Until finally the wall is broken, the temple is destroyed, and the people are carted off into exile. And Jeremiah's message is that this was going to happen. There was no way to avoid it. And then he watched it happen. It's one thing to say, guys, this is going to happen, and then to actually sit there and watch it go on. That kind of devastates you. I mean, is there any reason why? You think of the way that Jeremiah's message goes out, and it's all about how God is going to give the land its peace by getting rid of the people, basically. And you wonder why Jeremiah's nickname is the Weeping Prophet. It's also kind of weird to think that's his nickname, and Jeremiah is my favorite prophet, which is, you know, like I'm a little strange that way. But I'm also the guy who preached 6 months on Ecclesiastes, so, you know, go figure. But that's what he is. He's that weeping prophet who's preaching the fact that judgment is coming. And he suffered for his preaching. The people of Jerusalem really thought he was a traitor. They thought he was actively, he wasn't just preaching, they didn't believe he was preaching God's word. They really thought that he was working with the Babylonians to overcome his own people, his own nation. He suffered all sorts of terrible things for his preaching. But he never stopped. He cried about it a whole lot. But he never stopped preaching. He knew this would happen, that the Lord declared that it would be so. Hard message to give. And yet, despite the fact that Jeremiah is so much about the fact that God is going to bring that judgment, you have these little snippets like we read in Jeremiah 33 today, where he declares that this is not always going to be the case, that the days are coming. You know, 2014 is right around the corner, right? The days are coming when those promises that God had given would be visibly kept again. He's not saying that they weren't kept, but that the people of Israel and Judah would be able to see them once again. They would be able to experience them once again. The days were coming when the time of judgment and exile would be over and the time of peace would start. And that's the hope that Jeremiah saw. It was kind of a terrible thing that he had to go through all the pain and heartache to get there, but that's what hope does to us. The signal that these days were actually here, that they would come again, is that what would happen is that this righteous branch would arise from David's line. Proof that God's promises to the line of David, that there'd always be someone on the throne, and that to the promises to Israel and Judah, that this land, that they would always be God's people, were not in vain. This righteous branch that Jeremiah foresaw is what becomes that hope that we call Messiah. And the way that Jeremiah knew that this righteous branch would be the signal that those promises, that in those days had finally come, would be that this branch would establish judgment and righteousness. Now, translation says justice and righteousness, but you don't understand. In the ancient world, justice is not an abstract concept. We've abstracted it all out. Justice in the Old Testament world, in the ancient world, is the idea of what a good king does when someone brings, this is, the icon is Christ the King. So this is what a good king does. When you bring a case before the king, they do judgments in a way that actually strengthen the relationships between not just the king and the people, but between the people and each other. And in Israel, it was between the people and God. So this righteous branch would come and make judgments in such a way that people would live in righteousness. They would live in those right relationships, one to another. And God would be glorified because they would recognize the wonders that were being done among them. So for all the devastation, all the destruction, all the heartache that Jeremiah went through, he knew that when this branch come, he would bring the type of security that those people with the choir singing, that those people yearned for, that they had been denied in the contraction of their kingdom and the shrinking of their borders and this destruction of the temple and the carting off into exile. One day, all the security that they had longed for, they would actually see once more. They would experience once more. And in that time, Jerusalem would get a new name. The Lord is our righteousness. They would rejoice at that moment because they would see with their own eyes that all the promises God had ever made were actually coming to pass. As we open up our Advent journey, we are celebrating the fact that those in those days that Jeremiah saw actually have come to pass. That Jesus came. That he did restore the hope of his people. That he did make judgments that were brought righteousness. And as Jesus went around and he did his preaching and he gave his message, it was absolutely amazing what he did. Because he walked up to sinners. And he said, hey, you guys, come and hang out with me. Come and be my disciples. Sinners, he did that too. Why? Because they knew who they were. They recognized their own shortcomings. They recognized their own failings. They knew that if they were going to have any righteousness, the ability to live in right relationships with one another and with God, that it had to come from God. They knew it. And Jesus said, amen, let's go. And then by contrast, he looked at all the people who thought they were righteous at that time. And what did he tell them? Repent. Change. Be more loving. Be more humble. Be more giving. Be more forgiving. Jesus wasn't sitting there with the mallet just trying to beat them up. He really wanted them to be those things. Because he knew just how much his Father in heaven wanted to give them forgiveness, grant them the gift of eternal life. And some of those people believed and followed. And some of those people held on to their own self-righteousness. But Jesus' message never changed. We kind of read that today in his passage in the gospel. His message was always very clear. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. Today we're caretakers, not just of Jesus' message, but also his legacy. Because we live in a time where we know that Jesus did come, that the in those days have been fulfilled, that hope has been restored, that justice and righteousness are at hand. And yet Jesus ascended into heaven, and we wait. We wait for him to come and to establish his kingdom where peace will reign on earth. It is what we call life in Christ is life between the already and the not yet. It is the tension of the Advent season where we celebrate the fact that he has come and taken on our flesh, but that we look for him to come again. And as we go through this season, it's utterly amazing. The holiday hustle and bustle overwhelms us like a flood. You know, you get the shopping, you got the parties, you got the the cookies to eat and the, you know, the lights to see, and they're all wonderful stuff and it's really good. But as an introvert, it also this month terrifies me, just to let you know. I want to go hide in a corner because there's way too much going on. And if I hear one more Christmas song, I might just like go like bonkers. Right now I'm okay. About a week from now, I'll be like, okay, enough. I can only hear Silver Bells so many times, right? This season just floods over us. And it's, look, it's a great time and it's a great celebration. It's a wonderful thing. But as it, that flood comes, as this just completely immovable force that is the Christmas shopping season just takes over everything, remember to pause and hope. Not hope for the present under the trees, as all my as my kids are wondering about, right? Or actually, I'm wondering about. You know, not hope for that. Not hope that the holiday season will be over, although I'm hoping for that too. Not hope that we can get through Christmas dinner with crazy Aunt Edba. You know, that's like all those things. That's all great. But hope for the coming and the establishment of that kingdom that, that Jesus has promised. So that when you go through this season and you look at what's going on in the world, you turn on the news and you still hear stories about the recovery in the Philippines and the uprisings in Egypt and the civil war in Syria. You know, polio is making a comeback in Syria. Polio. All the pain. The fact that our government seems to be spying on everybody, but nobody knows who's doing it, which is just really odd. All the pain, all the disruption, all the anguish of this world, when you see that, when you experience it, maybe in just a little way when you're in the shopping line and someone shoves you out of the way because, you know, they're more important than you are and they need to be one slot ahead of you in the checkout line. Instead of reaching down and going, ah, smite them all, hope. Hope for that kingdom that is coming. For that prayer that we pray every week, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in that moment of hope, say a prayer that captures the very heartbeat of Advent. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and make all things new. Amen.